the sun, the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him and put him in the box, I'd lock him up and throw away the key for all those tricks he's played on me. You know, if I could stomp the devil, that would be a good job, stomping good and hard. Praise God. Yeah, I mean, this thing I'm going to give before the pastor, but this down their feet, and then the pastor can take it. Chaos, church, burn. Chapter 5, verse 7, for he cureth for you. It's not a wonderful promise in the book to cast your cure upon him, to get rid of it, whatever it is, he'll take it off you, praise God, and you know he'll not charge you for it. You know, whenever you want to get rid of something, usually people charge you for it, praise God. If you're wanting something, you're charged for it. If you're wanting rid of it, you're charged for it. But you can take what burdens you and give it to the Lord, and there's no charge, praise God. Amen. Why? Because he cares for you. I think that's wonderful, praise God. You know, what's really wonderful about it, you know, I think of Peter on the resurrection morning, how that whenever Jesus told the women at the tomb, he said, go tell my disciples on Peter that I'm risen again. You know, he specifically mentioned Peter because Peter was grieving the most. Out of them all, Peter betrayed him the three times in the rooster crew. And you know, the Bible says that he remembered the words that Jesus said to him, and he wept bitterly, shed tears over it, and he was feeling bad how he betrayed the Lord. But you know, even in the midst of it all, Jesus cared for him, and he made specific mention of him to show that he knew his personal need and that he personally cared for Peter. Even no matter how he betrayed him, how he let him down, he was feeling like a failure, I'm sure, but Jesus cared, praise God. It's not wonderful to know that the Lord cares for us this evening. Amen. So let's sing this again. Pastor's gonna come. Chaos, church, burn.
The devil lower. the Lord. Amen. Boys, he needs trumped. Praise God. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all the men unto me. Let's not forget, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you all this evening. Praise God. And we appreciate each one that's come out tonight. I want us to turn to Leviticus chapter 8. And we want to look at the special garments, anointing oil, and the consecrated with blood. There's so many things in Leviticus. And I'll just run over these briefly tonight. I won't try and keep us too long. But I believe this is not just a type of Christ, but also of the believer. There's a covering for us. There's a filling for us. And there's a washing for us. Amen. There's garments that we've been dressed in. There's an oil that's been placed on us. And there's something that's washed us whiter than the very driven snow. Praise God. Let's read from verse 1 of Leviticus chapter 8 then. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil and the bullock for the sin offering and the two rams and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat and girded him with a girdle and clothed him with a robe and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with a curious girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon the forefront. And he put the golden plate and the holy crown as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sacrificed them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all the vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured off the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with the girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded him. And then the next goes right on down to the consecrating with blood. But we'll leave it there for a moment. You can read it on, praise God. And tonight I want to look at Aaron and his sons and these things. And just to say briefly that Sister Jenny's mom's in hospital. She needs a real touch, and appreciate her brother Gary praying for her. And I can't say for sure what the problem is, I've been told, but I don't know that for sure. So maybe I shouldn't say for sure, but it's something to do with problems with the liver, and she's a jaundice and everything. But we're praying the Lord will touch her. And then Ian Redmond's had to go into a home because of no one really to look after him. So I'm going tomorrow night, the Lord willing. I want you to pray for me that the Lord will just give me something to say to the man. We want to see him saved. Amen. That's the most important thing. And then my Daniel rang me today. I was saying to the brothers coming in, and he's cut one of his tendons and one of his fingers doing something on a harvester, something on a tractor, changing blades, and he's in the hospital now. He's to get a surgery. So we're praying for Daniel. I told him I'd be praying for him, and he says, I believe it, Dad. You know, it's really, really something, because Daniel's never made a real decision to be saved, really, that I ever can remember. But every time I've ever prayed for him, the Lord's healed him. From he was a wee lad. And even when he wrecked himself in bikes and he'd done all sorts of stunts he shouldn't have done, and yet God still healed him. And he knows, and we're just trusting the Lord again that the Lord will touch him. And it's great to see Brother Laurie here tonight as well. God bless you, Brother Laurie. And the Lord is good, isn't he? Praise God. Let's bow our heads again tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. that we have an open access from your footstool into the very throne room of Almighty God. Because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we plead the merits of thy blood tonight. And we say, wash me afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And I shall be whiter than the very driven snow. Purge me, and I shall be like hyssop. Sanctify us, and we praise thy name. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you that you undertake for me. Lord, I bind every spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we say amen to all that's been prayed tonight. And we pray again that you'll touch Daniel, Alice Redman, Ian Redman, and all that's been mentioned tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We claim every soul for the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. We pray also for our loved ones. Save every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, we know your word is blessed and it is a blessing. And we ask the Holy Spirit will give us eyes out upon the word of God tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And for those in this room, Lord, that maybe didn't say anything but need a touch, touch them tonight. Meet their needs. You're Jehovah Jireh. Meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. You know, I've been thinking about Jehovah Jireh all week. Can't get that out of my head. I was near going to preach about it tonight. But then I didn't know if I should or not. But boy, when you think of Abraham, when he took Isaac up there, where there was no sheep, and God said, I'll provide. And he had the knife ready to strike him. He had him tied on the wood. He had him tied up. Think of that. He was ready to do all that God said. And remember, God, Abraham said, I received him as one from the dead. What Abraham was saying is, if I kill him, God can raise him. That's what he was saying. Because he knew he received him as one from the dead. And he went to strike him. And the angel stopped him. And he looked and there was a ram. Up where it shouldn't have been. Up on the mountain with the horns caught. And I tell you one thing, you see when you hear but the horns caught, you know it wasn't a wee lamb, a wee baby one. It was a full grown sheep, tip sheep, he sheep. With the big horns, fully matured, caught in the thicket, a type of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord provided. And I tell you, it's the Lord that's our provider. The Lord's our provider. Amen? Thank God for that tonight. Here's Aaron's sons. Aaron and the sons were clothed. And I tell you, Christ was clothed and we're clothed. And Christ was anointed and we must be anointed. Amen. And even as the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and he was the Son of God, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit coming on us? He was led by the Spirit, and the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. They were called with him, take Aaron and his sons. They were related by birth, sons. So we have been called in Christ and were born from above. We have a big brother called Jesus. We're related. And we're blood related. What do you think of that? Because we're washed in his blood. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. They were identical in dress. Verse 13 tells you that. The righteousness of God, which clothed our great high priest, is upon every single believer. Romans 4 calls it the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what we have got tonight. There's nothing the devil can do but that. Because you've done nothing to get it, God gave you it. That's what the word impute means. You never deserved it. You've done nothing for it. He freely gave you it. Amen. They were associated, verse 27 also, and we're co-workers together with them. We're co-workers with the Lord. We're not working on our own. If we're working on our own, we might as well go home. We need to be working with the Lord. The Bible says the Lord worked with them, confirming the word, signs and miracles. Verse 30, they received the same anointing, baptized with the same spirit, Aaron's sons on the royal servants. Amen. Thank God for tonight. Want us just to briefly look at this chapter this evening and see it this evening. First of all, in verse 6, it says they were washed. And you know, they didn't wash themselves. Want to just bring out a few highlight points here tonight. They were washed. Now, if you read, they were washed. Somebody washed them. They never washed themselves. And me and you, we never washed ourselves. We were washed. The Lord washed us. We never washed ourselves, but the Lord washed us, praise God. And they were washed. Thou, me, every one of us was washed whiter than the snow. The blood of Jesus Christ is the thing that washed us. And you can't call unclean what the Lord's washed. Didn't the Lord show Peter that in a vision? Don't you call common and unclean what I've cleansed. And somebody that's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, even if they don't agree with you in your doctrine, that won't make a difference if they're washed in the blood. If they're washed, they're the Lord's. You know, I was thinking the other day, William Branham made a powerful statement, and we need not forget it. He said, I'd rather have a man with the wrong doctrine and the right spirit than a man with the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. And we have to make sure our spirits are right. We can know the truth, but if we don't have the right spirit, it won't work right. We want to have the truth, and we want to have the right spirit. Amen. Praise God. We've been washed. Look at Revelation. You can read Revelations 1 and 5. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There was nothing that could cleanse you or me, only the blood of Jesus Christ. And Aaron here and his sons had to be washed because they were priests. And you and me are priests, kings and priests, Revelation says, unto God, we are kings and priests. We heard a brother tell us on Sunday night how that he went in before an earthly priest. But when God opened his eyes, he realized the earthly priest had nothing to clean him. But there's a heavenly priest tonight, and he's got something that'll clean you whiter than the very driven snow. And it won't clean a wee piece of you. It'll clean you all. And he'll say to you, thy sins of thy youth I remember no more. Yes. Your sins are washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. There's the washing. Praise God for the washing. Then if you look at verse 13, it says Moses put coats on them. He clothed them. He put coats on them. In verse 13 of Leviticus here, and Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles. Now, I haven't time tonight to go into the girdle and the ephod. I've preached on all these things before. If you go into when we're preaching the tabernacle, and there's a meaning in everything, even the burning gold. The burning gold speaks of someone, every single thing. But he put these coats on them and he clothed them, and it suggested to us also what he'd done for him. And you know, Adam and Eve were reckoned naked after they fell until God clothed them. And even though they tried out the fig leaf religion, it never worked. But when God came, and remember, God came looking them. They never came looking God. And there's a real prophetic type in there also, you know, because Zechariah says, there shall be light at the evening time. And the Bible says at evening time, God came walking in the garden. The voice of God came walking in the evening time. And he spoke to them at the evening time. And he called them at the evening time. And he clothed them at the evening time. And God has definitely spoken to us at the evening time. And he's given us his word. And we're clothed by the word of God. And he's washed us and he's clothed us. He's put a new garment on us. Amen. And you know, that's your first sacrifice, Genesis 3:21. And he put on them garments. Garments. He put on Adam and Eve. He sacrificed an animal. Someone was bled. And someone died that they could live. And he clothed them. And I tell you, not only did he clothe them, but you know also the whitened garments, well, you know, it was a gift. They were covered with a robe of righteousness. And we're going to have a whitened garment, a gift that God gives us, and he's going to clothe us. He's going to clothe us. And you know, the Bible speaks about the coming of the Lord, and it says, how shall they be found when he comes? It says, don't be found naked when the Lord comes. And it's sad tonight, there's people going to be naked when the Lord comes, spiritually. They're going to be naked. And you see, without this blood and without this clothing of the Lord, of the Lord's righteousness, we're naked without it. And then we see in Revelations also it says that they were naked in the Laodicean age. And we're in the Laodicean age. And the Laodicean age is a naked age. And not only are they naked, they don't even know it. And they're physically naked and they're spiritually naked. And they don't want to do nothing about it. And I tell you, with all these laws passed today, and you can identify as anything. Homosexuals is one thing. This is a whole new ball game, if you want to put it in them words now, where you can identify as anything you want. You can go and say you're a dog, or a cow, or a horse, or whatever. Pure nonsense. Amen. Thank God. There's only one thing you need to be identified with. Christ. That's what you want to identify. You want to be identified in Christ. Then you'll be identified as a believer. Here's another thing also. They were girded. Moses girded them with girdles. And girdle speaks of service. The Lord hasn't just called us and clothed us and washed us to sit and warm a chair. But the Lord has called us and clothed us and washed us to be servants. Servants for the Lord. We're in the service of the Lord. We're to tell others about the Lord. With no wee man's testimony on Sunday night, great. Wee John Purcell, wasn't it? May I tell you, he couldn't read or anything like that or write. He drew a few pictures, but he was fit to witness for the Lord. And I tell you, we have no excuse, but we should be fit to witness for the Lord. And I tell you, girded means you're called to service. Are you girded tonight? You are girded. I want you to know you are girded. You're in Christ. And you put on the girdle. And that was a call of life, the activity and the work of God. Luke 12:35. Let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning. And what's one of the things when God visited Job after the devil done all he could to kill him? And he would have killed him. Only God said, you're not allowed. But if God hadn't have said that, he would have done him in. He would have killed him. And many a time he'd kill you and me if he could do it. But God didn't allow it. And the one thing God said to Job when he visited him was, gird up your loins. Yes. Now command on me. Amen. He gave Job, he girded him. And then he says, go ahead. You've no authority. And I tell you, when you get girded, when you get the garments of the Lord, and the washing and the blood, and then you're ready now for the Holy Spirit. You're only getting started, really. You're ready now for the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, you can talk. You can say something. And I tell you, we need to say something, and we need to take authority over the devil. Amen. We need to pray prayers that takes authority over the devil. The devil over our homes, the devil over our children, the devil over this fellowship. We need to pray prayers against hell and the works of hell. I tell you, they had Halloween the other week, Halloween. And people running to Halloween and all this rubbish. And the whole thing's from the pit of hell itself. It's from the devil. Pagan religion. And as Christians, we have nothing to do with that witchcraft. We want to keep clear of it. And we want to serve the Lord. You see, you serve the Lord. Let your loins be girded about. Luke 12. and serve the Lord, the girdle, praise God. Then you see even another thing here in verse 24 of Leviticus, you're separated. You'll never fit in. Do you ever go somewhere and you felt like a square peg in a round hole? Who's ever heard that saying? I can assure you I have. I've had places and I feel like a square peg in a round hole that just didn't fit. Because they weren't living the way I was living, and the things they were doing, I didn't want to do them and had no interest in them. And I tell you, there's separation. And Moses put the blood upon the ear and the hand and the feet and upon the altar, Leviticus 8, verse 24, indicating that the ear, the hand, the foot were connected by the blood with the altar. They were separated for God. And when you get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are separated for the Lord. Touch not, handle not the unclean thing. That's what the Word of God says. What fellowship of light with darkness? None. God separates us. We're in this world, but we're not part of it. You know, I wouldn't call for Brother Gary the morning night and say, hi, boy, we're going down to the pub for a drink with no interest. I know he's no interest in that, and I've no interest in that. So don't do it, because we're separated. Amen. We're in this world, but we're not part of it. We're separated. You know, there's a lot of Christians today, and you wouldn't see, they don't look separated. And there's a lot of church so-called today. The right name for them, by the way, is lodges. They're not churches. The angel said, don't call them churches. Call them lodges. They're blasphemous names. There's only one church. One church. And you don't join it, you're born into it. But I tell you, some of these places today called churches, you go in, you think you're in a disco. You see, they've brought the world in. But God takes the world out of you. You come out of Egypt. And when you come out of Egypt, you don't go back into Egypt. You come out of Egypt and you head for the land flowing with milk and honey. Into the promised land. Not back to Egypt. Amen. And there might be some crying for the garlic and all that stuff, but we're going on. Amen. Praise God for the milk and the honey and the word of God and the meat. We're separated. Separated for the Lord. The blood-tipped members are as much property of the God as the altar is. The blood on the ear meant the same as the blood on the altar. God always claims for himself those whom he has washed, clothed, and girded. They're the Lord's. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, they might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The Lord suffered without the gate to sanctify us with his own blood. We're not sanctified with some religion tonight. We're sanctified by the living, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're sanctified by. With the blood of Christ tonight. And you see also here, there's the supply. There's a supply. The offering was put upon his son's hands. And you can read it, verse 26 to verse 27 of Leviticus. Separated one is sure to get the hands filled and for service. And God wants us to have our hands filled for service. Amen. I tell you, you know, when you think of it, I was struck here on Sunday night, I'll be honest with you. Maybe you weren't, but I was. Because when I seen a man with no education and what God's done for him, and so often we put such an importance on what we're going to learn and what we're going to teach ourselves, and Bible colleges and institutions, and there was a man God used for none of that. But God used him. The emphasis must be on the Lord. Man's works and man's workings will fail. We need the Lord, don't we? And I tell you, God's the way he does things. And right through this book of Leviticus, you can see all these things as the Lord. You know, consecration, cleansed and clothed, and the hands were filled, acceptable offer unto God, who then is willing, you know, it's an offering to the Lord. Look at, you could go to Chronicles 29 and verse 5. And no man saith the Lord shall come before me empty-handed. Empty-handed service is a cause for much failure in Christian work. And God wants us to come with a full hands. Now that can mean a lot of different things. God's people need about people of prayer. We need to be a people of prayer. Emptiness and prayer is no use. It's a sin not to pray. You know that. We need to be a people of prayer. Praise God. And then also, if you went down to verse 30, you'd see they were anointed. Moses took the anointing oil and sanctified the sons, his sons, and his sons' garments. Verse 30. This anointing oil is typical of the Holy Spirit. The oil always typifies in the Bible the Holy Spirit. And what can we do for God without the Holy Spirit? Even the very disciples that walked with the Lord and knew the Lord and saw the miracles of the Lord were told to wait to get the Holy Ghost. Think of that this evening. They were with the Lord. And I believe that's for a lot of things that went wrong. When we look at great men of God that were anointed and then people come after it and it doesn't work the same because they weren't called and anointed like that man was. And the disciples had to wait in the upper room to receive the Holy Spirit because they could never continue the work that Jesus began without the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said to them, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll show you things to come. For he'll not testify of himself, but he'll testify of me. Amen. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The anointing. And it teaches us the secret of holiness, the garments, everyday life, holiness unto the Lord, to be holy. In Romans 8:29, you could read us that we're to be holy and we're to be blameless before God. And I tell you, there's only one thing can do that, that's the Lord and the anointing of God. And you know, the Pentecostal blessing. We need the blood and we need the Pentecostal blessing. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, if you go around, now, some places we go and others go, and you'll agree with me, there's not the move of the Spirit of God today like there used to be. There's no emphasis today on preaching in places for the Spirit like there used to be. But if ever there was an emphasis needed on it, surely we need it today more than ever. Because we're at the evening time. We need the Spirit of God. We need the move of the Spirit of God. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. May the Lord help us to be filled, brave God. Praise God. And I'm closing just a moment. And then you see they were commissioned. Verse 35 tells you in Leviticus they were commissioned. Commissioned. Now they weren't commissioned till all these things happened. But when all these things took place, they were commissioned. And God has commissioned us to go forward. You don't have to wait until you hear someone. God's already commissioned you. Go on. What do you think of that? You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a real good example for it. William Branham was sitting at his breakfast table. He'd been asked to pray for a wee fella that was squashed because all these blocks fell on him. And he was squashed to pieces. And he said he was sitting with his wife. And he said, Lord, if you'll show me a vision, I'll go down and pray for him and he'll be all right. I need you to show me a vision. Now, I'm reverently trying to share this with you tonight for a reason. He says he got to thinking, did the vision heal the young fella or did the Lord heal him? And he said he got to thinking and he said to his wife, you know, it's the same faith, but without the vision. And he says he just went down without the vision, prayed for him, and God healed him. And he was solid well that evening. And you see, I'm guilty of it myself, but I'm telling you that. Too often we're praying, God, will you speak to me again, when he has already spoke. And how many times did he need to tell us, go forward. I've set an open door before you, on you go. But we're wanting an oar word. And there's an awful people that they're looking at a word. Everybody's looking at the word. And here's the Bible. Follow the word. Follow the word. You know, there's a man, and me and my father was talking to him one night. And God really moved in his life. He was a Catholic. And he saved and he led his parents to the Lord. And he met a real good girl. And they prayed and got married and children and everything, you know. But he said a powerful thing. He says, you know, I talk to the Lord when I'm praying. And he talks to me when I read the Word of God. And many times we're looking God to speak this, and he has spoke this. You see, whatever God said, he hasn't changed it. Whatever God said, he hasn't changed it. And if you've asked God for a fleece, and God's fulfilled to you the fleece, whether it's for preaching or something else, and God has plainly shown you it, he doesn't need to do it again. You need to go forward. You need to go. He doesn't need to tell you again. You need to be obedient to what you've already been told. And I believe there's people and they haven't been obedient. They've been told several times. But they still do the opposite. That's man for you. That's called rebellion. And the spirit of rebellion is sin and witchcraft. Look at Mark 16, 15. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Acts 19, 15, 16. You can read it. Numbers 9 and 19. I'm not going to take time because the time's gone. And I tell you, they were charged. Lord, thou art able to keep that which I have committed unto thee. Enabled them. And he commissioned them. And they went. And I tell you, we are commissioned. You see, you know what I've found over the years? The devil wants you to think you can't do it. And God all the time has equipped you ready to do it. You're ready to do it. You're equipped and all to do it. But the devil wants to tell you you can't do it. He's a liar, isn't he? I want you to be encouraged tonight. I want you to be encouraged that you're washed, you're called, you're cleansed, and his garments has been put on you, and we need the Holy Spirit. Now we continually need the Holy Spirit. The Lord anointed me yesterday, could say, and I don't mean me, I'm talking general. God can anoint you again. Every time we need the Lord's anointing, we cannot do it of our own. We need the Lord, but he's able. Amen. Let's come and let's pray tonight. Praise God. God bless each one. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. Your word is the truth. And you said, ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed. No longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. Father, I pray tonight. Lord, I really feel in my heart, specifically for men and women. Maybe not even in this service. Lord, that you have spoken to them. And yet, they want you to talk to them again and again. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to go forward with what you've already told us. Help us to be obedient to your word and to serve you with all of our hearts, for we know you're coming soon. Lord Jesus, we see Israel tonight, and we know the nations are prophesied to rise against her. But we pray for the peace of Israel and for your strength and your wisdom has already been prayed to upon all the leaders of that land. And we pray for your own people in this house and those around that's real believers, Father, that you'll bless them, that you'll strengthen them. Pray for all the different wee ones that preach over this country. We thank you for Brother John Purcell on Sunday night. We bless you for him. What an encouragement. Lord, we just pray you'll help every one of us to go forward and use whatever you've given us. Help us, Lord. Help us to take courage and go forward like iron sons that were got coats and they got the blood and they got the commission and the oil. Lord, will you help us to go forward and to gird ourselves and to go on with the things of God. In Jesus' precious name, strengthen those tonight in this house. And to pray, Lord, for those that gets opportunities to go to different places, may you use them mightily. And may there many be the slain of the Lord in Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank you that the devil doesn't do these things, but you do them. And we bless you tonight that you conquered him at the cross. You conquered him, Lord, and you triumphed over him. And we thank you, Lord, you said that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We thank you tonight that you're in us tonight. And we love you with all of our heart. We worship you. Pray, Lord, for the backslidden, you'll restore them. Pray for the unsaved and their families, you'll save them. And Lord, for all that we've mentioned in this service tonight, bless them and touch them. Pray, Lord, also for Nigel's father-in-law this evening. You'll touch that man as well. In Jesus' precious name, bless Brother Nigel, his wife, and all the family. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Pray for the weak girl that was in the hospital that her brother Stephen mentioned. Touch her and bless her. Move in her whole family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, Lord, for George and Winifred, and Lord, for all the widows as well in this service. Father, that you'd bless them and strengthen them at this time and meet every need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight. Praise God.